Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
The Match Ball.
Well, hello there, and welcome to The Match Ball. I'm Dan Moylan. With me is Michael Normanton.
Hi.
And Moscow White, Daniel Chapman.
Hello.
A quick reminder that the podcast is brought to you with Levi Solicitors. They will do you 10% off your legal fees at levisolicitors.co.uk/thesquareball.
Will they help me sue Leeds United?
Probably.
For causing me distress.
Well, if you are listening to this, you won't be aware that we are streaming these live to our TSB Plus subscribers via YouTube. Seemed like a good idea at the time to kick the season off with a real bang.
It's probably not the upbeat vibe that we were hoping for, is it?
This is what I'm talking about. Is it loss of earnings? Is it distress? There's got to be some kind of legal action we can take against Leeds. They've not only ruined the mood, they're ruining a YouTube broadcast, which we were looking forward to.
Let's not get too caught up on all that. Let's talk about the football. I know we don't want to, but we have to. That was god-awful, wasn't it? And bearing in mind, I think YouTube, the algorithm hammers you if you start swearing too early. So let's just try and contain
all these new things to think about. I feel like Robin Koch trying to locate Bruno Fernandes. Can I say Robin Koch? Yeah. Will that be flagged up?
That's fine.
Didn't really work that whole bit, did it?
No. Did we lose that in midfield? Is that where it went wrong?
Just a little bit, yeah. I think. Did you not notice the bit where Paul Pogba kept passing to Bruno Fernandes, who kept scoring?
Yeah, it did feel a bit unfair, that. And I think the whole thing, as people have pointed out on Twitter, was made more annoying by the fact that they kept bringing on good footballers and kept putting the ball in the net.
Thankfully, Sancho didn't seem particularly good, because when they took off Dan James, who is very noticeably their worst player, I was like, oh, for fuck's sake. He was our only hope, really, that the ball would occasionally fall to him and he'd miss. But, I mean, God, it reminded me a lot of the second half was like the first half of last year, where it was just like, just stem the bleeding, someone. Like, God, why? Just do something to stop this.
Well, remember, 5-1 is better than 6-2 because we conceded fewer goals. Okay, we scored one less, but that's, you know, let's not get caught up on that particular point. We're making progress.
And we scored the best goal.
True.
And also, one of theirs under the rules last season wouldn't have counted. So that's, I think we're, Ayling should count double, so we'll knock that one off. It's 4-2. And then the one that Ayling almost cleared off the line, it only went in a bit, didn't it? So I don't think it should count as a full goal.
Not full, yeah.
So they're down to, I think, 3.2 goals to them and 2 to us. So that's not bad.
As terrible as it felt, it is worth saying that everything that they hit went in. Like, if you look at the XG, which I know you can't read too much into, and it was 1.42 was their XG, which it does indicate that there was a high level of finishing in it. And some of the goals, like the Fernandes one where he just sadly took my advice and just twatted it, that was, and Greenwood's finish, like most of the time you wouldn't score in those positions. And then the opening goal, Melier got an awful lot on that, but it happened to go in. It felt like there were sort of relatively fine margins on the goals, but I mean, it's impossible to argue he deserved anything from that.
Greenwood's was a good finish. The Fernandes hat-trick,
the offside one.
Fernandes hat-trick one was very much, we're already 3-1 up and it's my hat-trick and we've scored 3 and 8 minutes if this goes in, where it's just like, I may as well just welly it. And of course, just it's the nature of the day that it was going to go in. It was a full confidence strike and an absolute kick in the teeth. I didn't like it.
I did remark at one point during that game that it felt like every single loose ball, even in that first half, every single loose ball just fell to them. Everything broke for them. Every loose pass, every ricochet, every deflection.
If you do want a little bit of confidence out of the statistics, we did play one more accurate pass than they did. We won that by 333 to 332.
Really?
So even though it looked like our passing was an absolute mess from every area of the pitch and every player, we actually, yeah, we were better than them at that.
Were we though? It didn't feel like
it. Didn't feel like it, no.
Felt like we were awful. That to me was where the real gulf in class was, that they just kept passing to each other really accurately and we didn't. Our players just didn't look capable of doing it.
The thing is, all their passes were led to goals and all of ours led to us losing the possession a minute later.
But even like those, it's like through balls, threaded balls or exchange passes, so few of them were done with that sort of power and accuracy that we normally see. There was that, I don't know, everything just felt a little bit loose, or you had to, it was sort of a percentage ball, if you know what I mean. It just, I don't know, everything just went wrong, didn't it? It all went sad and wrong.
Pass of the day was Tyler Roberts, right at the end for Rafinha. Better than any of Pogba's, I thought. There was all the vision. That was exactly what we were looking for, and exactly like what Scum had been doing all game, like the one that Greenwood turns around and plays it behind Rafinha for Pogba, and he crosses for Fred and goal, whatever. That little bit of laying it over for Rafinha from Roberts was what we'd been missing. And of course, yeah, it's typical. Because would we have felt better at 5-2 and Rafinha gets a goal? Rafinha might have felt better because he seemed in a right old monk. So
let's talk about him, actually. I think that's a good point you bring up, because it felt like we got £17 million Rafinha today and not £80 million Rafinha.
He just seemed pissed off, didn't he? Which we've seen in a good way when he gets angry and scores. It just felt like today he was annoyed that no one else was playing very well. Nor was he. It's worth saying as well.
I think Luke Ayling was annoyed at him not playing very well, and probably other people were annoyed at him not playing very well. Because it did, I think, was it there? It was either a goal or a chance right in the first half came from him. He was trying to play a pass to Matches Click, who I think at the time was lying on the floor, and that put them through for either a goal or a chance. And there was another one where it was after Rafinha had taken a corner and it went back out to him on the wing, and he tried to play a pass into Pascal Struijk on the edge of the penalty area, which Paul Pogba read, because it's, you know, I don't mean to diminish Pascal Struijk in any way, but I think Paul Pogba is easily able to read a pass that perhaps Pascal Struijk is maybe just that little bit of a yard behind in the head. And Rafinha, looking at the two of them, you'd think, okay, Paul Pogba might be able to intercept this pass if I try to play it to Pascal Struijk here. I'll do something else with it. But instead, it was just, go on, Pascal, have that. And then, oh, okay, Pogba's going to run away with the ball, is he? I'll let that happen, which seemed to be his other attitude towards things happening at the back. Luke Shaw's going to run into the middle of the park. Good. Let him. See how that works out.
I enjoyed Luke Shaw being told off for time wasting at 5-1 with like 4 minutes to go. You think, well, he's not time wasting. If anything, he might be tired, but like if he wants to keep it over there, I'm perfectly comfortable with that.
It stops other bad things happening.
Well, exactly. Although, I mean, we're not even going to talk about how we were robbed. Should have had a penalty. Well, could have got us back into it.
Was it a penalty?
Probably. It wasn't a challenge, was it? You see him given all the time. So, but they have said the rules are going to be changing this year about intent and force and all that sort of stuff.
But I reckon if they'd have got the same thing in the other box, they'd have got that. And I know it's a hypothetical that can never be disproved, and therefore I'm right. But it's true, isn't it? They'd have got that.
I mean, on the plus side, it made no difference. If it had been, you know, that for us to equalise or win in the last minute, it would have been a more of a thing to talk about. But as it was, it's just maybe one goal of goal difference, which we are going to rely on this season because we are bottom of the league right now.
The other positive we can take from this game is that they didn't get a penalty. So it's not the perfect Scum performance. So probably, and so picture this scenario, you're a Scum fan. I know it's easier for some of us to imagine than others. I'm doing that joke before you do. And you're relaxing tonight with your go and get your glass of like Alex Ferguson special edition red wine out of the cupboard. And you sit and you pour it and think, wow, 5-1 against Leeds, that's probably the absolute perfect Scum performance and result. And then it will hit you. Let's go, we didn't get a penalty. And then the whole thing is ruined, pointless. Day turns to ashes. Letters go into the Premier League complaining about the refereeing in that match because they weren't given their rightful pen. Bruno Fernandes could have scored. He should have scored 4. He didn't. He only got 3. It's an outrage. So their nights are going to be ruined. They just haven't realized it yet. You see their happy faces now and their half and half scarves and their songs about what a pleasure it was today as well to hear Leeds Are Falling Apart being sung again. That's something we've missed. It will be worse for them tonight than it will be for us.
Quite a stretch, Moscow.
When the game started and you could see the crowd, it's like, oh, it is good, and you could hear the atmosphere. And so you think, yeah, we've missed this. 86 minutes gone there, Ole and passes. I was thinking, shut the fucking stadiums.
Yeah.
Shut those stadiums right down. It's too dangerous. Get everyone out of there now.
I kind of felt like that after the Brentford-Arsenal game, watching Thomas Frank doing a lap of honour and kissing babies in the crowd and everything. Like, this is not what we're back for. Yeah. Stop this. Like, so
we want to see people running through city centres armed with dustbins and chairs, which we did see on socials beforehand.
Tidying up and having a rest. Well, there's nothing wrong with those things.
The man wanted to sit down when he was carrying that chair, clearly, and the gentleman with the bin, yeah, doing that. Like, you know, when we see
tidying up, wasn't he? Doing a bit of tidying up.
Like the Scotsman.
Yeah, we always see those good souls who are cleaning up after football fans have been in town, trying to, you know, counter that narrative that football fans destroy everything. Just carrying his bin, getting ready to pick up all the broken glass and so on.
The broken hearts.
Yeah.
What an absolute shambles that was. I can't believe we're here again. It felt last season, it was our first time playing them in the league for ages, and it felt like we were finding our way in the Premier League, and it wasn't inevitable, but it felt like it was a possibility. I did think we would lose today, but I really didn't expect it to be quite as bad as that. Although actually, when I saw the team and no Calvin and Rodrigo and Cock in the middle, I don't really like it. Imagine, I didn't like Rodrigo there, and then we took him off and things got loads worse. So
it's that classic Leedsy thing of, we can be dead good on our day, but if we just have one or two variables that are not quite there, it always drags us down into these situations where things can go drastically wrong. I mean, but there's egg on Joe Cole's face as well this evening, because you would have seen his bid to become this season's Karen Carney in the build-up to this game when he said, what was it, Leeds die after 70 minutes. Well, actually, the last goal they scored was 68 minutes. It was 0-0 for the last 20,
wasn't
it? At
which point, I merely wished I was dead.
So who's the fool now, Joe Cole?
Oh, God, I don't know where we go with it.
If you want a bit of joy to compare it to last season, Bielsa has already been doing his post-match, and he says in the previous game at Old Trafford last season, there was a big difference between the two teams. Today, there were fewer moments when that was the case. So that will cheer you up.
What does he mean by that, do you think?
It wasn't quite as open as last year. They didn't have as many chances. I know they still managed to score 5 goals, but they were more efficient than last year. If they'd have shown that level of efficiency in last year's game, we probably would have lost that by about 10-2. So that's something to be thankful for.
He also says that he liked how Robin Cock played. He says he was dynamic, willing and committed.
But he kept passing to their team.
And not stopping Bruno Fernandes.
I mean, that's the big difference for me. He says that Phillips is under consideration to start, but says today's imbalance was collective, not individual. He liked how Cock played. So I think he's maybe not trying to pick on him, but if you look at the game at Elland Road last season when we drew 0-0 with them, one of the best things about that, or one of the reasons it came about, was Calvin Phillips absolutely bullying Bruno Fernandes and not giving him a moment's space, not giving him a moment to think or breathe or score a hat trick. And today, that's the absolute difference. And even on, it's the first goal where the ball is chipped over, isn't it? And Robin Cock has let Bruno Fernandes run in behind him. Yeah, because it's the Melier kickoff. And then Bruno Fernandes runs away from Robin Cock. And there was one replay from behind the goal where you can see Robin Cock's face as he's running through. And there's a little look on Robin where it's kind of like, this is me, isn't it? I should have.
this has gone wrong.
Yeah, so and that's before Melier has even almost saved it. So again, I'm not even sure that goal was a full. If a goalkeeper's, was it going in before Melier kind of saved it and then it went in? So I'm taking it down from 3.5 to 2.7.
I mean, my notes for the first half are quite detailed here. And then second half on the second piece of paper, quite a lot of swear words and just fewer things, most of them goals. One of the things I did note down in the first half is that we were playing in all white. That was one of my observations. How did you feel about that?
Yeah, so that's a Leeds kit.
Was that a bonus for you?
Well, it didn't result in them being forced into black shorts. And as far as I'm concerned, Scum should always wear black shorts. That should be their kit. So even that didn't work out.
There was an ominous sign when McTominay went through, it was like 2 minutes into the game, wasn't it? And we all drew breath and went, oh, not again. And thankfully it didn't. Oh yeah, it did. Oh, sorry.
Cooper blocked him, didn't he? It's hard to say if Cooper and Strike were terrible today. I'm not sure.
That's one of my other notes here. I've got two left footers in defence, because we did speak about that on the Phil Hay show, and I asked him, do you think he'd put two lefties in? And we thought, probably not, but he did.
I mean, Strike did get completely done for pace on the Greenwood goal, didn't he? Which was, I mean, Greenwood is fast and a good finisher. So, I mean,
yeah, it feels a bit mean.
You can cut him some slack, I suppose, on that.
It's a bit like looking up his school sprinting records and saying, come on, Pascal, this wasn't good enough ever.
But I don't know about the others. It felt like surely someone should have been able to stop them at some point. But I don't know. It felt like they were all similar sort of goals, weren't they? Because it was Fernandez running from deep completely.
Yeah, you've got two midfielders with one of them's got four assists and one scored a hat trick. So it's not really what Strike and Cooper were doing with Mason Greenwood in attack. It was all happening in front of them, and it's more Robin Koch not getting anywhere near Bruno Fernandes, who is by far their best player and carries that team. And then I don't know who would really have been on Paul Pogba, because it looked like nobody, but whether that was Click was supposed to be doing it, whether it was Rodrigo was doing it in the first half or was better at it than in the second half, but there was nothing. And then the hat trick goal for Fernandes, when it's that Lindelof pass, is just kind of, well, where's that come from?
It probably sums it up in midfield, actually. In my notes, I'm writing the problems, and I'd written Koch versus Fernandes, then I've written Pogba versus whoever was meant to be marking him, because yeah. I'm not entirely sure who that was. I know Dallas went into midfield and Click was obviously there for the whole time, but I don't know exactly who was meant to be marking him, because most of the time nobody was.
And does this mean we need to sign a load of players? I think seems to be the sentiment is that we do. So do we?
Might as well.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Is that Rodrigo's Leeds career over?
being taken off at half time?
Yeah.
Well, it got worse when he went off. So I guess he could point to that now and say, don't do that again. So apart from when we're playing a defensive and fairly bad team, I don't particularly like him.
There are a lot.
There are a lot. And he will be useful for that. But against a team with like Fernandes and Pogba, for as much as we don't really want to give them any credit, are two of the best midfielders in the world, and trying to counter that with a striker sort of dropping in and a central defender pushing forwards, it did feel risky, and so it proved.
I mean, this is the problem with, and what I'm getting at with that, I mean, I was being glib about Rodrigo's career being over, but today the worst thing is it's all our fears manifest. I think that's what really upsets me, that Rodrigo as a number 10 didn't work, got yanked so we could have Stuart Dallas in for the second half in midfield, and obviously it did go from bad to worse even then, but it just didn't quite feel right, did it? The team just wasn't there, and Koch deep lying, Rodrigo further forwards, and then you kind of got Click, who was doing a lot of the work on his own. I don't know, it feels like all the criticisms and all the tension and anxiety that built up in the void over the summer kind of was brought to bear today. Everything just went wrong in all the areas that we didn't really want it to go wrong, because it means it'll just heighten those fears even more.
Yeah, we are going down. I think the key tonight and probably tomorrow and probably until we play Everton is to just stay off Twitter and stuff because it's going to be awful. I think I'm just going to have a little evening off just from it. Just leave the phone somewhere else, watch a film or something. Probably don't even watch Match of the Day because that'll...
Oh, we'll be on first anyway.
We probably will, won't we? So I don't want that to sadden me either. I might just tune in once it's over.
We managed to successfully lobby the Premier League to start the season away from home to give Elland Road more time to settle down and the pitch to stitch together and stuff. We maybe should have just asked them if we could play an easier team first. Mm. Last year we had the champions. This year, this lot, somehow, it's still a mystery to me, but they finished second last season in the Premier League, didn't they? And they got to the Europa League final. They are objectively really good. And I think that's going to be one of the problems with the kind of the we need to tear up the Leeds team and start again with 11 new players thing is one, our best player, Calvin Phillips, was on the bench because he has sacrificed the start of Leeds United season for England. So again, do we get any points back from the FA for that? No, apparently not. But the aim for this season, and when we talked on the main podcast about predictions and where we think we're finished, we're all kind of like, same ballpark as last year, maybe a place up or a place down will be absolutely fine. And the way we'll get to that is by being better than all the other dross, Arsenal specifically. But, you know, Burnley, the other team's fixtures coming up today, Burnley, Brighton, Chelsea are good, Crystal Palace, Everton, Southampton, Leicester City, Wolverhampton, Watford, Villa, Norwich, and then Liverpool. Also,
you just listed a lot of teams there.
Yeah, but we're not going to be facing Pogba and Fernandes when we are up against Burnley or Brighton or Crystal Palace. Crystal Palace's best player is Conor Gallagher, who we didn't want. So Robin Koch can't mark Bruno Fernandes. We have learned that. And I disagree with Marcelo Bielsa when he says he had a dynamic game. I don't think he's very good at that. I think Calvin Phillips can easily mark the best player of Southampton or Wolves or Watford. So I don't necessarily think we do need to rush out and sign another midfielder in an emergency because we have a very good midfielder on the bench for us who will help us finish probably 8th or 9th again.
Well, that is the question that you teed up at the end of the first half there, and it's the one I guess we should address now. Should we buy someone? Because these games, I mean, like you look at like last season, the whole League Cup game acted as a sharpener of minds, and that's when they went out and signed Llorente because we were exposed as being a bit threadbare, I think, in the squad. Do you think this will have the same effect? It seems to be that one of the main blocks towards assigning players is Bielsa. Oh, maybe this hammering will make him think, just do it.
I mean, the danger is that we go out and sign Lewis O'Brien, and as promising as he might be, I can't say with any degree of confidence that if he's in the squad today, anything is any better, because he's someone who's never played in the Premier League, all of a sudden being dropped into a really complicated system, probably of a level of fitness that's not quite there, with no understanding of his teammates or anything. So I'm not sure. If we're going to fix it by buying someone, which I know isn't Bielsa's way, we probably need to spend quite a lot of money, and I'm not sure we are willing to spend a lot of money.
But Angus Kinnear, when we spoke to him, said money's not it's not a barrier to us signing players, is it? So can we have it both ways?
It's kind of, and it's signing the right player, and the knee-jerk, the Allardyce move now would be to say, look at my midfield, go and buy another midfielder for me. And the response would often be, well, you know, you have got £100 million Calvin Phillips on the bench. Well, that's irrelevant. Look at my midfield against Scum. Go and buy me a midfielder. That's where you have to kind of remember of what, and it's difficult because there's been so much excitement about the Premier League sort of starting properly and people will be back in the stadium again. And it's a game away to Scum that obviously we really want to win. It's trying to remember that the target for this season is the same as last year. Don't get relegated. And if we've got a squad that will not get relegated, touch all the wood that we can find and do whatever, then there's not actually that really burning, pressing need to fix what happened today. I don't think today was a sign that we're going to lose 5-1 to Everton and after that we'll lose 5-1 to Burnley. I don't think those are the results that are going to be coming our way. So what actually do we need to fix as an emergency? Nothing, because we're not going to get relegated. We'll have another season of all the Premier League money. And then next summer, and I know it's mad to already be talking about next summer's transfer window, but if next summer there is the brilliant midfielder that they've not been able to find who they can just swap for Click, and it upgrades the team right enough, we'll sign them. But if they're not there, then do we end up with, you know, Conor Gallagher for a year, or Lewis O'Brien, who might be good when he's 24 or might not be the answer? And so, yeah, I don't know if I just, especially not when we've got to the middle of August, signings now don't seem to be the answer. And then I'm not even sure what the question is at this point, because losing 5-1 to Scum on the opening day, it's kind of, you know, we lost 6-2 to them last year, and we still had the best season Leeds United have had since 2002 was last season. And it included a 6-2 defeat to this lot in exactly the same manner. So it's, you don't know what to,
I get the
to
problem
make
is,
of it,
I think,
really,
do you? I think the problem, the question is, it's about,
what is the question?
It's about season hopes. And this is perhaps more of a statement.
Don't get
than a question.
Hammered by Scum was one of them, really, wasn't it? I think that's where today's a problem.
But I think what you were getting at there, like, we've almost got one eye on next summer already. So that kind of frames this season as, well, we just got to do the same as last season. And football support, in its very nature, it's progressive, isn't it? You want hope, you want to see progress, you want to cling to things getting better. That's what you hope for. And actually, today was a stark reminder that things are probably about where they were last season, and that's not exciting. And they understand it as well. Angus Kinnear acknowledged it. They know that's where the antsiness comes from, because it's been quite a conservative summer.
And because the Premier League kills hope, because you can't win it. You know, it's almost impossible to actually win the Premier League. So if you are a Premier League team, what are your hopes at the start of the season? Don't get relegated for most of them. And then you've got a few who think, eye on Europe. And we have an eye on Europe, but we also, I think, the sober part of people thinks, oh, that might be a bit of a stretch. So if we finished ninth last season and qualifying for Europe, we all kind of feel, oh, that might be a bit soon. You know, we've only been in the Premier League one season. What actually are our hopes and aims for this season? The competition doesn't allow us any. I want to be back in the Championship when we had promotion to aim for, and where I didn't have tweets. Ole Gunnar Solskjaer, quote, it's been a perfect day. Is he going to, I know he's trying to be a bit
more
expressive.
Is he Lou Reed?
This is it. He was giving it all his, he's celebrating goals on the bench now instead of just looking sad. And I don't know if his next thing is going to be growing out his curls into a mullet, mincing around in shades and a black jumper like Lou Reed.
Speaking of hair,
replacing with Mo Tucker.
We have actually missed like the one good bit. We've not even talked about it, have we?
What, Ayling's goal?
That was good.
Well, I was going to close out this by saying
it was enjoyable for like 3 minutes, wasn't it?
Story of my life, etc. I was going to close out the show by saying, have we got any positives to take from today? And that was probably it, wasn't it? An absolute thunder bastard, which deserves a better outcome in terms of the game that it was contained within.
It would have been it'd be like the Berardi goal, which I know wasn't a classic goal, but it was a goal from Berardi. And it had to be pretty much forgotten because it came in a really sloppy cup defeat. And this will be the same, that it was, you won't feel comfortable putting it, even including it on like a goal montage in future, because everyone will go, that's the game we lost 5-1, isn't it? So we just have to forget it ever happened, unfortunately, Luke. Do it again next week and make sure it's the winner.
Dallas's goal was really good at Old Trafford last year as well, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was.
So we need to, all these really good goals are getting wasted in really horrible defeats. I also, Junior Firpo was good. There, have that. There's some positivity for you.
I didn't really notice, actually. I'd sort of zoned out a little bit by that point.
Well, how many goals did they score from that side?
That's very true.
Well, how many goals did he score from the other?
There was definitely one where he was left on his arse a bit when Fernandez scored. The one that Ayling failed to clear off the line. He was, him and Melier were both
but
sold.
Yeah, but that was Robin Cox's man, wasn't it? But I thought he was good, and I will not listen to any arguments otherwise. So
okay. I thought it was
give
fine.
Give me that.
So it was a golfing class today. Do you think, you know, at 1-1, we got sucked into the occasion a little bit and then switched off, and then it just completely ran away from us? Because there is an argument to say at 1-1, when we got our foot back into that for that second half, you thought, oh, well, this is it. It's on now.
Mm.
And we started to look a little bit bright, and then it was obviously snuffed out within, you know, 2 minutes. But could we have in an alternate universe?
It feels like a stretch, having lost 5-1, I've got to be honest.
I'm just trying to get something from. I'm just trying to get something positive from...
If after we'd scored, we'd continued to play better than them.
And hadn't conceded
all of those goals. yes, we could have got something from it, but as it was pretty dire. The last 20 minutes were relatively comfortable compared to that horrible period where they just kept scoring. At least it felt like when they made the changes and Pogba went off, it felt like that was them saying, like, we've had enough now, feet up, just conserve some energy for the next game. And that was a relief, to be honest, because it was very tough to watch.
Yeah, it wasn't great.
If you do want to be hypercritical and suck all of the joy out of the day, it's Luke Ayling's fault because his goal was too good. Because you saw the reaction when he was on the ground, he was humping Stuart Dallas.
Yeah.
And then when they were about to kick off, he's looking at whoever it was on the bench and Ayling's laughing his head off. If his goal had been less good, it might have been everyone's just, right, back, kick off, handshakes instead of dry humping, and then get on with the game.
I'm not sure that humping was even dry, to be honest.
An Ayling does Dallas joke in there.
Oh, yeah. Well done. Well done. Yeah. That's the high point of today.
So everybody got way too excited about such a good goal. If he'd scored a more moderate goal or even a bad one, then it's a little bit more ordinary and they might have kept their minds on the job. So not only can we never think about that brilliant goal again, but we should never have thought about it or celebrated it in the first place. What a horror.
Well, let's try and close out on a positive note and say that we got this one out of the way at the start of the season. Just draw a line under it. We go again next week and we've got 37 games to try and stay up.
37 cup finals.
37 cup finals. Jesus Christ. No, come on, let's end on a positive that we get back into Elland Road next week and we can start again. Just forget this.
You could hear Marching On Together being boomed out at 90 minutes.
And You Let Your Country Down to Jadon Sancho as well, which I thought
was right moving.
So come on, Moscow, you've always got a positive word for us. Close us out with something positive.
We'll beat Everton.
Will we?
Big style.
Promise?
Well, look, okay, this is... I know I'm not even showing it on YouTube if anybody's kept track of that. Look at Luke Ayling's face. Go on Twitter and just look at... They've done the post-match interview with... They always put Luke Ayling up when it's a moody situation. I will show the camera, actually. Look at this. That is the face of somebody who is beating Everton. He's going to... Adam Forshaw will be... That's a positive. Forshaw on the bench. Adam Forshaw will be just a whole week. He'll be ostracised. People like trying to break his hip again.
Is that a positive?
He's the...
Maybe he'll break his other one this time instead of that one.
He's the local Evertonian. So I think they'll just be using him as a punchbag every morning going into training next few weeks. Adam Forshaw up against the wall.
Well, fingers crossed we are sitting here in another week's time. Well, not in a week's time because the game will be on. I don't want to be here in a week's time. Just over a week's time.
It's 3:10, so it will have been 10 minutes. So what are we, 3-0 down by this point?
Fingers crossed. Well, we'll return to pick the bones out of this one. Propaganda. That'll be a treat at the start of the week.
Let's see what Scum fans are saying. Well, I told you.
Should we skip it this week?
Nah, it'll be lots of them going, we didn't get a penalty. Yeah. Their night ruined.
United. Man United, as you were saying, Michael. It'll be fine.
It's a Manchester United performance.
And let us know what we missed, got right, wrong, or everything in between on the feedback form if you're a TSB Plus subscriber. And go have a look at us on YouTube. I think the kids, the Gen Z lot, they say, don't forget to like and subscribe. Hit that subscribe button, guys.
Smash that like button.
Is that what it is? You've got to smash it.
Smash it, I think.
Oh, great. All right, well, look, we'll be back with more action in a couple of days then.
The Match Ball.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.